Fire. Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Yeah, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Monday. Oh my gosh, how did it get to be October 11th? 7:05 and 40 seconds, and we're joined today, of course, by Bad Bob.
And good morning.
How you doing today, Bad Bob?
Excellent. Had a great weekend.
Did you work at all?
Matter of fact, yes. Worked around the shop, things like that, and played with my new radio, all kinds of good stuff.
Did you come in for your show?
We pre-recorded because Brenda is still working weekends through the first week of November.
Because of fire danger?
Well, she's on the weekend rotating shifts, and yes, they staff that office all around. So.
Okay. And speaking of a rotating shift, over to the right here, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning, Columbus Day.
Oh, yeah.
What does Columbus Day mean to you?
Columbus Day means... Really? Columbus Day. Well, it's supposed to be in honor of the man that found America, even though he wasn't the first one, but he did get the credit for it. It's a holiday. I'm not sure why we even have this one. I understand presidents, veterans, I understand that, but unless this is a celebration of America. Which I think the 4th of July does.
I prefer to think of celebrating the voyage. When you think about what those individuals undertook back in that day, that was quite a trip.
It was quite a trip. But if you ever see the real size of the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, you know, those were not very big boats to be traveling on. But they weren't the first here. From everything I've read, they've had Norsemen that were here first, and of course the American Indian that was here, Native Americans. But what it does is it gives a holiday to everybody, and a lot of things close today, like banks and government buildings and what else? Federal offices. Let's see. The big thing, schools. Schools are closed today. What else is closed today?
That's going to be, well, let's talk about the weather. It's going to be breezy today with a high of 86. It's currently 69 degrees. And, well, what'd you do this weekend? We did sneak off to see a movie yesterday. We saw Wall Street. And, I love the first Wall Street. This one did have a guest appearance Mike Douglas was that throughout the whole thing. But the guy who
Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
Or Charlie Sheen.
Three minute, yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah, so he did make a guest appearance, which was good. It's a good film. Loved the fashion.
You know, I messed up. You know, I said all federal offices along with Shasta County courts are closed. All city, state, and county offices will be open. So this is a federal thing. All city, state, and county offices will be open. No mail will be delivered today, and all schools in Shasta County will be open with the exception of Indian Springs School and Big Bend. And most banks will be closed today, though. So it's not a full everybody take the day off holiday.
Quasi holiday.
A quasi holiday, you got it. Okay, hey, today we have a number of things going on. Steve and Debbie Allen will be here to be talking about legislation that they have helped initiate, helped push through Congress or through our assembly up here concerning underage drinking. They'll be here at 8 o'clock. We've got a couple other surprises for you, too, but it's a Monday. Let's all wake up here. October 11th. Let's take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot, good morning. About 7:12 in the morning, working our way around here. It looks like, don't you just like it when the big guys get into battles? I mean, we got a lot of battles going on here. But then the big guys get into it about, the Chamber of Commerce has really gone in hard to support Republicans and to talk about the business parts of America. And they and President Obama over the weekend said something is that so groups that receive foreign money are spending huge sums to influence American elections. They won't tell you where the money from their ads came from. Then Obama twice mentioned Rove by name in an Illinois rally, saying two groups funded and advised by Karl Rove have outspent the Democratic Party 2-1 attempt to beat this guy. And they accused him of stealing our democracy, that the Republican National Chairman and the Chamber of Commerce of stealing our democracy and of spending millions from secret donors to elect Republicans to do their bidding. It appears that they're even taking secret foreign money to influence our decisions. Well, you know, before we start talking about taking foreign money and taking lots of money from areas, I mean, the Democratic Party has got no place to go on this one. I mean, they even had to give money back. You know, they took money from the Chinese. They took them from everywhere. And what the and what Rove and the Chamber of Commerce has said is, prove it. Just prove it. Prove that we've taken that. You're making these are baseless allegations. Show that we have taken money. You know, there are chambers of commerce throughout the world, American chambers of commerce throughout the world. I didn't realize this till I was in Croatia, and the American Chamber of Commerce there gave threw a Thanksgiving party for everybody. Members are, you know, a lot of times members are businesses that are working there, but many of them are from that country themselves. So, but they keep that money completely apart from the American Chamber of Commerce here in the United States. You know, the thing about it is, here we go into it again, is what you're seeing here is the same thing that you're seeing with Meg Whitman in the Brown campaign, where, you know, you got issues. I mean, there's more than enough issues in this country, in this state, this county, this city, to work on, to talk about, to try to work out, to handle, to fix. And what happens? Well, Meg Whitman hired an illegal nanny, or whatever she was, a maid. Even though that everybody knows that the woman showed a Social Security number and a driver's license and all those things, it makes no difference. Because if we can't address the issues, let's start beating them up on their personal life. And then somebody else came in and said that she was mean. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry Meg Whitman's mean. Maybe you were incompetent. But then, you know, and so we keep getting back more and more into this thing where it's not issues anymore. It's attacks on people. It's, you know, the big thing, you know, which was the unions were telling people not to put their signs in the windows. Well, no, we deny that. You know, I mean, okay. But that just kind of takes everything apart. Like the two guys that parked there, and one of them was, I think, a power guy. They parked their trucks around Gary Cad's signs. What's that got to do with the issues? They did it. The union did it. But what did it have to do with the issues? It had nothing to do with the issues. What was, you know, it's like children doing this. I mean, we've got more at stake than, oh, let me hide your sign. You know, and what kind of mentality is it that says, oh, I'm going to hide your sign? What kind of mentality is that? I mean, it's kindergarten, and these are the guys that are running your electricity. Well, you know, maybe that's why it's a dangerous job sometimes. If that's the way, you know, if that's where that's where their brain is right there. But here's the thing: is of course most of the unions, you know, the vast percentage isn't like that. But this is just a small microcosm of things that are happening all over the United States right now. If you can't address the issues, if you can't play fair, oh, let's just do these things. Oh, she was mean to me. Oh, okay, can she run the government? If the answer to that is yes, then if she's mean, I think I can get over that. You know, if they're taking money from foreign areas. Well, what about all the billions that Soros gives? I mean, American citizen, does he want the very best for our country? We're not sure. Many people say, oh, no, he just wants America the way he wants it. That's why he gives so much money to move on and such. How about the guy that owns Progressive Insurance? Somebody sent me some stuff on that. The guy that owns Progressive Insurance, he inherited it. Spends a lot of money on the ACLU at MoveOn.org. millions and millions of dollars. You know, is it fair, you know, if you're going to say, I'm not going to put my signs, I will go to your business, if you put your signs, you know, if you put my opponent's signs up, is it fair to say, well, fine, as long as you give all that money to these organizations I don't agree with, Progressive Insurance Company, I won't go there. The bottom line is issues. Look at the issues. You know, this weekend paper, the Record Searchlight, had all the candidates, had stories about every one of them. It was a good article. I mean, you can, and they talked about how some of the candidates were being supported by the unions last time and are not this time, and vice versa. The Sunday edition of the Record Searchlight has it all laid out, and it looks pretty good. Gives you something to look at. This is Carl Lindebaugh. We're going to take a quick break here. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Just
that's the way to start the morning. 69 degrees, get it?
That guitar riff will go along with the opening line of Beethoven's Fifth as some of the greatest stuff ever put down of all time, in my opinion.
That's
just
it.
Fine.
Currently 69 degrees, as we said.
That's it.
Gotta be high today.
Rick Hill does better than that.
Oh, it's going to be high today, a breezy high of 86. Great, probably a great day to go sailing.
Hey, you know who we have to really, really say something nice about today?
Who?
Or maybe we already did it.
Bremer?
Well, Jim Bremer and Bad Bob and all that, yes. No, The Fountain.
Oh, we did exchange a fountain in case...
We did Bark and Wine.
That's right, and we... had a live auction item. It was a fountain. We talked about this last week, but we'll say it again. Jose Antonio's exchanged a fountain, and we're going to have that delivered. It was incredible. The customer service there was just
really
incredible.
Nice. You know, it really was.
Place is absolutely beautiful. I didn't know they had a huge koi pond. And just the plants. I mean, I would recommend anybody walking in that place and just checking it out. It's beautiful. It's very regal. And if you're ever looking for a fountain, that's the place to go because you're going to get every kind of fountain. And they know their stuff.
Yeah, they do. And they have, you know, and it was something we had bid and hadn't even looked at. And we looked at it and said, this obviously doesn't fit here. And so we walked through. Linda and I even separately picked the same fountain, which they thought was really, really interesting.
All right, let's go.
So we got that done. We got that done. We just want to say thank you to them.
Yeah. Right. We just have to say that one more time because it was pretty incredible. So it's Monday morning. It's a holiday for some of you. Trash was picked up.
It was picked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so with the holiday
and
that.
The county and the city, they're still going.
Right. So let's go to the phones. Good morning, Jim. You're on the air live.
Good morning. Hey, you know what I love about the station? You can call in and, you know, say what's stuck in your craw.
That's the idea.
You know, and, well, I was thinking the other night, this illegal alien that, in this controversy with Meg Whitman that she hired.
Right.
What I want to know is, are they going to deport her now?
You know, they know where she's at. Why can't they do that?
You know, that's a funny thing. You know, these illegal aliens are so brash. They'll come out and say, yeah, I'm illegal alien. And they don't get deported. You know, here she is trying to, you know they're trying to scam money off of Meg Whitman and ruin her her chances to be governor. So I was just wondering, are they going to deport this woman and properly punish her, or are they just going to sweep her under the carpet like Barack Obama's aunt?
I'll
take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks, Jim. No, it's going to be just like Barack Obama's aunt. And who is, by the way, getting money from the government, even though she's here illegally. Even though Barack could probably pay that himself, since he is a multimillionaire. One of those very, 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 very rich people that, by the way, has his housing and all of his allowances paid for it. I'm not quite understanding that one, but that's just the way it is for all presidents. But yes, no, they're not going to deport her. No, she's probably being paid, and she's put up in some real nice place, they got Gloria, whatever her name is. What's
Allred.
Her name?
Aldridge.
Oh.
Allred.
Out there taking care of her, beating the
Isn't
drum.
Aldridge?
No, it's all red.
No, it should be Aldridge. Or all red. I don't care.
Bob's looking at me like, anything.
All red as in socialist?
I get it.
Oh, no, I would never say that. How do you know what a socialist is? Anyway. So, Jim, to answer your question, of course she's not going to be deported. Of course not. She's probably got a... They're probably doing a bio on her for, you know, Vanity Fair, and she's going to become one of the editors at Rolling Stone magazine.
If it was another country, she would be deported.
If she's another country, she could be put in jail. Why is it that you go into North Korea, that, you know, you just kind of waver across the line, boom, you're in jail, and it takes a former president to come get you out, even though that Clinton found out it was a girl he was getting out, so he hopped on the plane right away. But what about the ones that went into Iran, the three hikers? They just released the woman. They still got the two guys. It's over a year. Can you imagine going into Mexico? Can you imagine walking into Mexico saying, not only am I here in your country, I demand that you teach my children in English and that you print things that I can read, like anything has to do with the law or any of these, in English. I demand that. And by the way, I demand free medical care, and I demand that you let me fly the American flag on the 4th of July and march up and down the street. I demand it.
I see somebody do that in, say, Toronto.
Oh, you know what? These, you know,
when the Canadians got
we
done laughing,
sometimes
they
my
mess.
Friends are such jerks. You know, we let people step on us until the day that, you know, if, you know, it takes, obviously it takes Americans being killed, like on 9/11, before we stand up and say, you know what, enough's enough here. But then on the border, where you've got Arizona fighting for its life down there and trying to do something. And who does the government turn on? Yeah, Obama turns on Arizona and goes after them. What's going on about this? Why, you know, if Mexico is such a great place, why do they keep coming up here? Why is it so reversed? And you know what? It's not stopping. Oh, you know, these things they're doing, you know, it's slowing down the illegal immigration. Oh, really? How much? How much is it slowing down? And what exactly is this dream thing they're talking about having illegals, and that's what they are, lawbreakers, get some kind of spot in a line so, they pay some money and they can be residents. And make no mistake about it, the Obama administration wants to give amnesty to them. Make no mistake about it. They're working for it right now. Just as they're working on other things. Just like they worked on the health care plan that everybody now is looking at and going, oh. And even in regards to my friends, health care is not a right. No more than having a car is a right. Now, this is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on in town this weekend are a little more happy. And is it true that if you're over a certain age, you might be grumpy?
We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 7:34 in the morning on October 11th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We were there Friday with Patrick Jones in our town hall meeting. We had a number of people there. This week on Friday, we're going to have a big set too here. We'll be announcing that tomorrow. We've got one of them lined up. We just have to make sure we line up everybody else on this so that when the discussions start, you can be there. Bring those plastic bags you put in front of you like you did at Gallagher's when they start hitting things and stuff is spraying around. Anyway, but though is Tobacco and Brew, finest walk-in humidor in the state. Joe and Shelley provide that room for people to be able to talk and discuss issues civilly. And, of course, Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee you want. Fixed so many different ways.
Let's talk about the significance of 10-10-10.
You into numerology type stuff? There, Carl?
Well,
do numbers have special significance to you?
Certain
particular numbers?
Certain numbers.
Well, okay. Yesterday, of course, 10-10-10. Now, what was significant about October is that this month has 5 Fridays, 5 Saturdays, 5 Sundays. That's something that only happens once every 823 years. Now, I know you were around for the last one, but
well, so everybody that's got a show on Saturdays and Sundays, you guys are getting a real good deal this month.
I looked it up, and it said the psychology of 10 seems to give people that warm, fuzzy feeling like I won $10,000, I got 10 things done today. Then, of course, there's the ever-ubiquitous 10 top list, which would be our top 10 list, which is, you know, 10 reasons, 10 links to websites, top 10 music songs,
10 reasons I married
movies.
You.
David Letterman's top 10. Yeah.
There you go. And then there's the historical. So you'll love this, Bob. Even when taking into account the differences between the Gregorian and Julian calendars, mm-hmm. nothing significant appears to have happened 1,000 years ago during the year 1010. Nothing significant appears to have happened 2,000 years ago during the year 10. The Dark Ages spanned the 5th to 15th centuries, approximately 450 to 1450. So, anyway.
Nothing significant happened.
What do you think? I wonder.
Bob started growing his beard.
I wonder if anything happened to somebody significant.
Well, something somewhere, but.
Hugely.
Nothing on a world scale.
Well, or even locally. Did something happen to you in 1010 that was just like, wow, you know, the big one?
I think some people. I know what it was. A lot of people got married yesterday.
Yeah,
10-10-10. A lot of people got married in Vegas yesterday and probably other places because 10-10-10 seems like something you would be able to remember.
Okay.
I mean, guys are anniversaries.
You want to hear about a study out of London? If you're over 52, then you're probably grumpy. I'm not quite there yet.
I should have put in for that grant.
Britons find being older than 52 is nothing to laugh about. I'm not even going to go there. First visual in my head. Forget it. Because that's the age when they start becoming grumpy. I want to know really what you think about that. The poll of 2,000 Britons found those over 50 laughed far less than their younger counterparts and complained far more. Now, I think that's probably just like, is that all there is, the song Peggy Lee wrote? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? This whole life I've been thinking there was going to be more. So it's like the glass half empty, half full thing. Infants laughed up to 300 times a day. And that figure had fallen into an average of 6 laughs by teenage years and only 2.5 daily chuckles for those over 60. The survey for cable TV channel Dave, the cable for TV Dave found. Men were also found to be grumpier than women.
Well,
wow!
I think we should address this, but we got a phone call here from Wyoming. Good morning, Mayor Jones.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Hi.
I'm calling you from Wyoming. We're out in the field right now hunting antelope. We've got 27 people from Redding, California, out here having a good time. We miss Carl. Carl's missing in action. Carl went with us last year. We miss you, Carl.
Well, I tell you what, I really, really would have liked to have gone out hunting this year, but we have a small business here that we're trying to keep going here. So how's anybody done anything yet this year?
We've already had a few hunters be successful, and so they're having a great time. The weather's a whole bunch better than what we had last year. We have a temperature right now at about 45 degrees.
Whoa.
And sunny skies, so we have great weather conditions and got a ton of people. So I just wanted to call in and say keep up the good work in Redding, California, and we'll be back in a few days.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Mayor.
Be safe. Be well.
Right. Be safe. Tell everybody we said hello.
Bye, Carl.
All right.
Bye, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's really wonderful.
You know, we asked Patrick to call in, not to talk about politics or anything, but I did go there last year, and I do like to hunt. And that was it was the only antelope hunt I've ever been on. And here's the thing about it is there was a gentleman that was with us last year that was not well. And, I mean, physically was not a healthy man. And, and this is not for political reasons or anything less. I'm just saying this is that Jones got him out far enough away, from, you know, got him out into the area, and the man harvested an antelope and got it back. 6 weeks later, he passed away. And the thing is that that's all this guy wanted to do was he wanted to hunt an antelope. and which happened, which occurred. So it's a for that man, it was, you know, we talked about over 50, and, you know, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Type thing. Well, sometimes you don't know when it's going to be over, so you should be happy. We're going to take a break here. Carl Endebot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Music, Bob. You are filling it. It's bringing us out of that.
You're the bomb, Bob.
Bad. Columbus Day bomb. Funk.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. This segment brought to you by BNT Satellite, right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley, he's the man. 15 years in business. On Mondays, they will give you they will replace your remote. If your remote was flushed down the toilet or eaten by the dog, just go out there. The first 20 people get a free remote. 244-1988. Doug Tooley, BNT Satellite.
Let's go to the phones.
Jay, I understand.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Hey, we're great. How are you?
Good. You know, that study reminds me of a similar study, you know, where they showed that married men live longer than single men, but it had a weird anomaly. Married men were more prepared to die.
I guess when you say I do, I guess it means I do till death do us part.
Hurry up.
More prepared, but, huh?
You know, I have a wife and two daughters, so I could either laugh all day or I could cry all day. I prefer to laugh.
You are surrounded. Now, you probably got a female dog, too, right?
If we were allowed to have one, we would. I'm sure of it.
No.
I realized the other day I'm being told what to do 90% of my day by women, because the dispatchers are women too. So I'm just I am swimming in a sea of estrogen over here.
What do you do, Jay? I see about estrogen.
How do you get your man? How do you get your man?
Yeah,
fixed?
How do you get your man fixed?
I go to shoot something.
There you go.
Oh, okay, that's good. But you know what?
Jordan, my day to blow something up.
Yeah, but you know, but it's getting. You know, when talk about that antelope hunt last year, Ann Meyer was the first one to get an antelope, 200-yard headshot. When that happened, the rest of us just went back, got in the car, and sat there.
Hey, that's a fantastic shot.
It was. And, you know, she'll say to this day she was aiming at its chest, but I don't believe her. So, anyway, okay, hey Jay, thanks a lot, and
have a great day.
Go out and shoot something. Yeah.
Hey, you know. A target, actually, yeah, we just don't, yeah.
Well, he knows what I mean.
That's implied.
That's implied. You know, speaking of grumpy people.
Well, I think it's important to clarify that.
Okay.
If somebody's, like, flipping through the channels.
Okay, we just...
You know, somebody might not hear a full sentence.
We don't...
A lot of weird stuff going on.
I don't
on
hear
the
a full sentence in here a lot of times. Okay. You know...
You're not grumpy.
I'm not grumpy. I've gone beyond grumpy. When you're grumpy. You know why people in England that are over 52 are grumpy?
Because they're
really
in England.
First of all, they live in England. Right. First, you know what? They don't tan over there. They rust. You know, the water's on them all the time. They've got... And let's think about it. 60% of their money goes to taxes, plus the VAT, plus the fact that, you know, the kids live with them till they're like 27 or 28 because they can't afford to go out and get their own places.
Here?
Yeah, boomerang.
Well,
happening here.
But not to the extent, is our kids go out and they overextend themselves on houses, they lose the houses, then they come home.
Then they come back.
Back there, they can't even get into a house. They can't even get a car because of the high cost over there. So, no, you know, and so much, of course the kids are happy. Mom and dad are paying for them to still be home.
Something that appalls me is the number of people I know personally who are over 50 who are raising their grandkids.
You know, that's a very good point. I've heard of that.
Well, you know, okay. I always go back to you only know what you know because you know how you were raised. You know, in my household, you are not allowed to live at home after a certain age unless you had a job. And or you were going to school. And we had to work at 16. I mean, we had to have a job. When we grew up, again, we saw that the other day. There was this little kid, he had to be like 7 or 8 years old. His dad was cleaning up the trees there off of Bonaventura and 273. And he had these big, limb cutters in his hand. And he could hardly hold the limb cutters.
Yeah.
And he was out there just focusing on trying to get the limb cutter around that. And I looked at that kid and I said, that kid's not playing a game.
Nope.
He's out with his dad. That's what my dad made me do. I'm not saying it made me a fabulous person, but what it was is that you don't have a choice.
No, but you know how to build fences.
I can build a fence, but the thing is, do I want to? No. My nose itches. It's allergy season. Everybody knows it anyways.
And this is why we don't have a studio camera.
Which is probably a good idea.
But anyway, so the point is, I think that the 52 and grumpy really has to do with one's look at it. You reach the half point of your life. Where am I going? Is this all there is? For many people, it's like, I'm bored with my job. I'm bored with my life. I look at the same furniture. You know, it's day in and day out. It just, you get to the point where, okay, it's downhill from here.
I think, wow.
I think a lot of people
do
feel that way.
Playing?
So really, how do you shift it? How do you know? That's what we love about having, you know, the Conscious Living Show and our wonderful Saturday shows about what are you going to do to make a difference in your life? Because if you just keep going, just putting one foot in front of the other every day, you're going to be a grumpy old person.
What you do is you just have to take each day and make sure that day's good.
Yep.
You know, you act like that's going to be your last day. I mean, you can sit there
is
and be in a rut.
Song, live,
you know,
like you were dying?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? This is just because you're 52 or 55 or 42. You know, you can have that same feeling, though, Linda, when you're 22. Oh, is this all there is? Gosh, I've got this crummy job or whatever, and I'm here. And the whole thing is your attitude. It's what you make out of it. You know, life is not something that's predestined. Life is something that you go out there, you grab, you take charge of it. You just don't let it just push you around. It's like, oh, I don't have any choice. It's already destined. Wrong. Wrong. There's only one thing that you're destined to do, and that's die.
That's right.
That's it. Everything
else. And pay taxes.
Well, not if you're 50% of the people in the United States, you don't pay taxes. I'd like to know how they do that, personally. But hey, we've got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460.
Hold on, Bob.
Of Free Fire Media.
I love that. I love that bump. You know what that's from? Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, we like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, that's totally Ferris.
So if I call in tomorrow and say I'm sick, and then you'll see me out in a Ferrari driving around town?
Do whatever you want.
I have to borrow somebody's Ferrari. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Hello, Linda. I wanted to go along the lines about my dad told me a long time ago that happiness is a state of mind. And after gallons of beer and wine, it finally sunk in. You know, you can't alter your state of mind to be happy.
No, you can't.
It's all a frame of mind.
It's, you know, it is. You know, you can, you know, they looked at people that made, you know, I think we talked about it, $72,000. That seemed to be the magic number.
That would make me happy.
Yeah, if people made $72,000 a year, and that was the number, they were happy. After that, and if they had a lot more, like say they got a job that that paid them twice as much, it wasn't that they were happier; they just felt more of a sense of an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were under $72,000 a year, you're unhappy because you know it made things tougher on you.
Yeah.
But that was the number. $72,000 was that magic number for some reason. So
yeah.
That's why I think 52 is, you know, to say that you're grumpy. Just because you're over 52, I'm not sure that if it's just a mindset, or if, you know, at that point too, you know, those little physical things we've been doing our whole lives start catching up.
You know, we were at not too long ago, Bob. We were at a place that a friend let us have use their cabin for the night. It was really fun, and I pulled a book off the shelf, and it was about John Muir and him, and how he would take these long treks. And here is a man who basically lived eating bread and slept in the forest and found the wonderment in just the beautiful things, in foliage and birds and the weather. And so you think about that, how a man, you know, who, you know, grew up kind of a, you know, again, with a really stern father and had to work very hard as a young child. But they just chose this lifestyle. And so I just think, well, there's a perfect example of a human being who chose to find the beautiful things in a moment, in nature, in the simplistic things. So we really appreciate your phone call.
He chose to enjoy it, and someone else would be miserable complaining about eating bread and
so
having to go to the bathroom in the woods. And
So what do you do for happiness?
What I do for happiness?
Yeah.
I have to just enjoy every day. Glad to be alive and healthy.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Uh-huh. Go for an ATV ride or something, or a bike ride.
Yeah, you know, to enjoy
your yard work.
Yeah, well, you know what? And a lot of times that people don't realize that sometimes doing the yard work, and that is a way of, I mean, you're alive, you're outside, it's good.
Be able to do it.
Yeah.
Some people can't, because you appreciate you can.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
See you later, bye.
See?
Okay. Yeah, no, you know what? There's a lot to be happy about. There's a lot to be thankful for. Yeah, we're in the middle of some, you know, sometimes we let little political, you know, things bother us. And in reality, if you look at what's really important, I mean, it's important, one, is that our country be strong, that our city and county be strong, that our, you know, that we be healthy and that, you know, people care about each other. I think those are important things.
Well, you know, I'm a big tech freak. I love my gadgets, but some of the most incredible times I've ever experienced has been turning everything off and going out to the beach and watching the sunset over the ocean. It just doesn't, or even watching a sunrise.
That is why we love the beautiful North State. And this is more than just a plug. We love to go up to Anselmo because of this beautiful space, and to watch the cows and the cattle and the goats, and sit out on the deck and just watch the sunset. And it's just beautiful up there. I mean, I feel like we're on a little mini vacation every time we go up there. So, and Shingletown, and when we drive through Lassen, all of that it's just really a beautiful area we live in up here.
Yeah, it really is. Unless you're driving west on 44 at about 4:30 in the afternoon on a motorcycle, then life is not quite as much. I get a little grumpy then. I share the road with deer. So,
yeah, we want
our guests when we come back in the next segment. Debbie and Steve Allen, they're here. We're going to have them in and talk about new laws that's going to protect our kids. You know, a lot of times kids make silly decisions because they're kids. So a lot of times we make silly decisions because we're adults, but we should have some kind of background there. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about legislation. We're going to talk about, you know, a few of the things here that are affecting our town and our community. This is October 11th.
Wow.
Almost halfway through. I mean, September's gone. You know, the summer. Don't even remember the summer.
Hey, Kevin Sharp is going to be calling in this week, and we've got
a whole lot of things we've got to talk about here.
We have Think Pink Month and all of a bunch of stuff going on we're going to talk about in the next hour as well. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 Carlin DeBott. It is 8:05 in the morning, October 11th.
Hey, this Friday, can you believe it's October 15th this Friday? Half of October is already gone by. The Veterans Cemetery Chapel, there's a benefit dinner for the Veterans Cemetery Chapel, and this is all about raising funds to help finish the chapel. It's $30 per person, and Chris McCandless is going to be performing tonight. So if you want more information, please do call 241-7500. It's going to be a beautiful event. Also, the weather today, breezy with a high of 86. It's currently 67 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
And you know, today is Columbus Day, so all federal offices along with Shasta County courts are closed, but all city, state, and county offices will be open. No mail will be delivered today, and all schools in Shasta County will be open with the exception of Indian Springs School in Big Bend. And most banks will be closed today. I wonder why Big Bend School, well, anyway. But you know what else is happening this weekend? I've just got to throw this out because we're going to go.
What?
The 29th Annual Salmon Festival, the 2nd Anderson Street Fair, and the Salmon Bake are happening this weekend. The Salmon Festival starts at 9 on Saturday morning at the Coleman Fish Hatchery. The Street Fair and Salmon Bake is happening from 11 to 4 at East Center Street in Anderson. And admission is free.
Well, we're going to go to the Salmon Festival, and then, of course, Saturday night is Taste of Spain, where we've been asked to be, it's really hard to say celebrity, but we are going to be bartenders for the Taste of Spain event.
They've obviously seen us bartender before.
And we are going to
we poured generously. And
we are going to dress you. We're dressing in costume, whether you know it or not. We've got you ready. We've got you outfitted for...
I don't even, you know.
Rick with the lace bib.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to wear the Rick Hill... Dancing with the Dancing with the Stars costume. I refuse to do that. Let's go to the phones.
Good morning, Elizabeth. You are on live on KCNR. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you two doing?
Oh, we're great.
We're just trying to figure out what kind of costume I'm going to put
so
me in.
So you pour generously, do you?
Oh, I do. You know, I pour.
I think I want to come to your party.
Anyway, so not.
Hey, just wanted to call and let the folks know what we're doing at the Reading Tea Party tonight. As always, 6 o'clock sharp at the Bonneview Baptist Church. And we've got Carly Fiorina's people coming in, to kind of give us a highlight on her campaign and how folks can help up in this neck of the woods if they want to get involved in that. And obviously that's one of the most important seats in the Senate to overturn. So could be valuable information.
Okay, and that's at 6 o'clock at the...
At the Bonneview Baptist Church.
Hey, congratulations on your all show yesterday.
Thank you. We had a nice kickoff.
Your premiere episode.
And a special thanks to Chandler for, suffering through our naivete and how to do it and, you know, how to time it and not try to talk over each other too much. He did a great job. He was really patient.
Chandler's one of our pros here.
He does a great job
as a board operator and producer. That's for
well,
sure.
Well, Elizabeth.
Chandler Ariano.
And Elizabeth, thank you so much for always calling in and let us know what's going on with your end of things.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right.
Guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And you know what? This is for any organization can call in and tell us, you know, if they've got something going. We've had, you know, organizations. This is what we do here. We provide this voice that if you've got something going on like that, just let us know. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with our guest. This is Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Yeah, well, KCNR, 1460, October 11th, Columbus Day. We're busy. Good morning, hon.
Currently 67 degrees. Right here at KCNR, happy Columbus Day, I suppose. You know, it is. Happy America.
Well, you know, a lot of people have the day off. If you're in feds, if you're a fed. But if you're a county or city, you don't. If you're a kid in school, you don't. And I guess today... Or Debbie and Steve Allen.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thanks.
It's not the first time y'all have been on with us, but, you know,
true.
We always enjoy having you on.
Hey, good
Thank
morning.
You very much.
In
yeah.
all in all avenues here. Debbie and Steve, Debbie, you've been involved with Assembly Bill 2486 and Assembly Bill 1999.
Yes.
You want to talk about this with our audience?
Sure. I'll start with Assembly Bill 2486, and it was sponsored by Assemblyman Furor and also MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and Consumer Attorneys of California. And I was contacted and asked if I would help work on this bill and get it through our legislative to become a law. And after studying it, most definitely, I supported it, and Shelby's Rules decided to help with it. So what did that help entail? Well, I went to the state legislature, to our assembly side and our senate side, and I testified for the bill. And then there were, you know, radio shows and numerous publicity or people that contacted me to talk about it. And basically what this bill is that if there is an underage, a child at somebody's house under 21, and they are knowingly served alcohol by an adult, then that adult who has served the alcohol is liable now civilly for doing this act. So so the hopes is, and I'm sure it will, is it will tighten up and work on the problem of adults serving minors alcohol. And then AB 199, Assemblyman Portentino in Southern California, is the one who started this bill. And again, I was asked to help on it, and I was on numerous KGO, LA station radio shows, and helping along with this bill. And our governor, who saw that, yes, these are bills that need to be signed. He signed them, and they'll be law January 1. AB 199 basically gives immunity to an person who is under 21 who is either themselves, you know, sick from an alcohol or their friends, and they call for help. So even though they may be participating, the person who calls for help, that victim who is the victim of alcohol poisoning and the person who calls for help will be immunity from criminal prosecution.
Limited immunity here.
Yes.
Yeah, that means minor in possession.
Right.
That means if you're with somebody and they had way too much, consumed too much, and you're with them and you're fear of them basically
becoming very ill.
Becoming very ill. Right. That person, even if you're 12, 15, 21, doesn't matter how old you are, you're immune because you've helped save the life of somebody.
Exactly. And or if they are sick and in need of emergency. Yes. So it takes out that element of fear that is among our community of youth. It takes that element out because you're not going to get in trouble by the law.
You know, we go
for
back
helping someone.
To 2486, and tell me if I understand this law correctly. Under existing law, and this is the new AB 2486, under existing law, a social host who furnishes alcoholic beverages to any person may not be held legally accountable for damages suffered by that person or for injury to the person or property of or death of any third person resulting from the consumption of these beverages. I'm surprised about that part. Now, the part that changes is this changes if you're giving them to kids under the age of 21 or people under the age of 21. I was really quite surprised to see that if I serve somebody at my house and they get drunk, and I still serve them, and they leave, and they smash into somebody, I cannot be held responsible for that.
And that's still the law.
Right.
The only thing that changed.
You know,
that
to me is a very interesting.
Well,
here.
We have a couple things in the chat room that says there is already a criminal law addressing that issue, which can lead to a civil suit. And from the same person, does that eliminate the current law regarding a minor in possession?
Well, I don't think that this change has anything to do with the
I think if it's
a
minor
sure
in possession
that question, because they're confusing civil and criminal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But under the criminal way I see it here is that if somebody under age 21 gets caught with in possession, then they're still, they're still in trouble.
All the criminal laws are still in place. That had nothing to do with it.
Okay. How about if they get pulled over and the first things out of their mouth is, I need help. I've been drinking. I mean, something like that, but I don't think they'll do that.
That won't help them at all.
No,
I'm just wondering if that this question means that the whatever is on the books, this new law that goes in effect, does it change? It's a new law, but does it change the law that's standing now? Another law that's already in, I guess that's what that means.
Yeah, you know what's confusing is, and it's confusing to everybody, is this line between civil prosecution and you know, criminal lawsuit. And in 2486, you know, as Carl said, the existing law, which has not changed, is if you're a social host and you provide alcohol to another adult and there's injury or death or damages, you are immune from that civil prosecution. The only thing that changed was if you provide alcohol to a minor.
Okay.
And the minor gets injured or dies. There has to be direct provision, and it's a civil lawsuit. It has nothing to do with criminal prosecution, and it's so that the minor's family can litigate in civil court, if they choose to, for a injury or a death.
Right. I was just, you know, for some reason, I thought that if, that, and I wonder if it's just other states maybe, is that if you serve beer to everybody until they get in a car and they're sloshed and then they get into a wreck, that somehow you were held responsible for that. Maybe this is in such a way because it could be the way it was written is that if you've had two beers and you get pulled over, you get a DUI, then the person then can turn around and sue the or they can come back and get to the homeowner who's just served what he would think is a count, you know, two beers.
I think the idea is that adults know what they're doing. So an adult consuming alcohol and then has problems, it's like their own fault. And so this is trying to distinguish between the adult to adult versus adult to child.
Okay,
look, we're going to take take a quick break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Good morning, North State. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bob here on Free Fire Radio. KTNR 1460. We love it that you are on 1460. We are with the Allens, Stephen W. Allen, and we're talking about some legislation bills that are going to be passed in January, some that were in effect, that fell out of effect, particularly one. But through the terrible tragedy of Shelby and her passing, what you've been able to do is go in and people have called upon you to be involved with the body of making a movement for things that are very positive in Bill 199, as you were saying.
Right.
Can you expound on that a little bit more for us, Debbie?
Okay, well, you know, this bill is real important because this bill really directs to the children, you know, to the kids, to the young adults. And one thing for, you know, parents to know with this bill is, you know, teach your kids that, you know, if the fun, because let's face it, that is what goes on when this type of behavior is happening, takes that bad turn, you know, and either, you know, your friend or a stranger is in trouble with alcohol, well, now, you know, calling for help, they will be immune from any criminal from liability. So, you know, it's a good thing for the kids. It takes that fear out. And you know, sit and talk with them and tell them, you know, you don't fear me. I'm your best friend, right? I'm your parent. I love you. I want everybody safe. And now even there's no fear from getting in trouble from the law for that time period that you called for help, you and that victim, even though maybe you were involved too. So it's a really good thing for the kids to take that fear away, because there should never be a time that fear, you know, being afraid to call for help can make the difference on saving somebody's life. Life is the most important thing to all us human beings.
You know, we think that, you know, the kids will talk to us, you know, and that they'll come to us. Well, they won't, because of fear. And it's not that you've ever, you know, it's not like you're even done it. You've never
peer pressure.
Well, peer pressure too. But it's not even that. It's the fact is that maybe they haven't been in trouble before. Maybe this is their first experience at it, and they are not sure what to do, so they hesitate. And hesitating or waiting to see what's going to happen. Gosh, maybe what's going to happen here. All of that is something that this bill may provide them that opportunity then to say, hey, look, I'm not going to get in trouble this way, you know. I can face my parents. I mean, it's not like it's going to be I'm going to jail after this.
Right.
Or I'm going to be fined for this.
Right. And, like, in fact, this AB 199 was actually came about because in Pasadena, California, there was an 18-year-old boy, Alex, who went to a party for a very short time. You know, I believe that, well, the newspaper said approximately 45 minutes. And then he got sick right away, which is what happens with acute alcohol poisoning and especially with the culture of binge drinking now that brings that about. And so his friends, you know, put him in the car and they drove him around for quite a while. Now, I think they're suspecting now it was out of fear we're going to get in trouble. And then he passed out in the car. And that is when they took him to another friend's house, not the hospital, another friend's house to a parent who would know CPR. And at that point, it was too late, and they lost him. So, you know, the point is that, you know, fear needs to be taken out of the picture. There's been changes in today's society among our youth. In my time, I remember if we were doing something that we knew we weren't supposed to do, we also knew if we got caught or if something turned bad, you know, there was no doubt about it. You're going to get in trouble. And that was accepted. But in society now, among some of our youth, we do have youth that are, and there's case after case of kids that have died, and it's all due to the fact that they didn't get help. So this is real important because it will really give that security to the kids that need that to, you know, get the help. And I'll tell you, as I present to high schools, junior highs, to whatever venue, one of the most rewarding things about doing it is that talking to our teens, they get it. They get afraid. They come up, they email me, they tell me, I didn't know this. I didn't know after just a few hours of drinking that I'm jeopardizing my life, not by drinking and driving, although we know that can occur, and we've made great headways with that. But they have no idea about acute alcohol poisoning, and most adults don't. So everybody has risen to the occasion, but I'll tell you, we're typically in the teen world, you'll have pushback. I have had none from any of them.
Do you think that's because most of the teenagers have known somebody who's gotten really drunk, and maybe they didn't die, but they're thinking now that, you know what, except, you know, what if it had been another drink, if it had been, you know, if something else had happened? I mean, I think, is that part of it?
Sure. You know, I mean, for years we've seen people get drunk, pass out. I know in my time in the 70s, vomit. Vomiting, though, was an alarm. I remember that, you know, that was time the party stopped, you know, or you took your friend, you took care of business, you got in trouble, whatever it was. We have a mentality among our youth now where vomiting is normal, passing out is normal. There is no thought that that's an alarm that could lead to something serious. And yes, you know, even though binge drinking has brought about the exact recipe for alcohol poisoning, it's still, after that, it's Russian roulette. Not everybody who throws up, not everybody who passes out is going to die. But that real possibility is there now due to the fast drinking in a short period of time, less than 2 hours.
Maybe that's it, because when I went to school, we lived on the river, and they would call them kegger parties.
Right.
I never really... It just wasn't my thing. But anyway, I'm not saying that I was a goody two-shoes, because I certainly was not. But anyway, over the bluff was the kegger parties. And I never remember ever hearing anybody passing away or dying from alcohol poisoning. So I think that really is. There's a fine that attributed to the quick,
right.
quick
You're right,
binge
Linda.
Drinking.
You're right.
We're going to have to take a break here
But those are really good parts, because, you know, either they kept it real quiet or you didn't know anybody. And, I mean, we drank when we were back in high school, probably me, but not to the extent.
No, and one of the things that I say in my presentation is that I knew, you know, my mother entertained. I was a teen in L.A., California, and participated. I was in my 20s and, you know, knew no one that died.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. Carl and Nevada, guests are Steve and Debbie Allen. Join us after these messages. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It is 8:34 on October 11th. Gee. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right there off Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices. They give veterans a discount. You won't find styling going on there. You'll just find haircuts. You'll find no manicures, no pedicures. And if Oprah's on there, it's only because somebody has made a huge mistake. This is man's last stronghold, my friends. Man's last stronghold says right on the window. Cypress Square Barbershop. Steve says that he's heard of that. That's right.
That's right. That's where I'm going to go.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, they have... They're just waiting for you, in fact. Hey, our guests are
down. You're going to shave your neck.
Hey, if I cut off any more of this hair, I won't have it anymore.
Then they charge a little more because then they call it a hunting. It's for a hunting license there. Hey,
okay, we're talking about a couple bills, a couple new laws that are going to be taking effect going in January. $199 and...
$19.99.
$24.86. But before we took a break, we were talking about drinking.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, it's... For us, for an adult, drinking two or three shots in a row, okay, it may not be the best idea, but
right.
we can pretty much handle that depending on how big you are, I guess. It's different with the kids.
It is, because the culture now is, in most of the time, the drinking starts with hard liquor and it starts with shots. If you Google and bring up shots and drinking games, you'll see that shots these days are very sexy. You know, you'll see dressed up beautiful young girls, you know,
see it in the movies,
drinking. Yeah, it's kind of like in the 20s how cigarettes were. You'll
right.
see it in the movies.
Coyote,
you see vomiting happening.
Yeah.
You see passing out. It's a joke. But the thing is, in real life, it's not a joke. And with binge drinking, the culture that's happening now that has been around on our college campuses, of course, for years, but it's come down to high school, hot and heavy, and, you know, even junior high, believe it or not. And what the recipe for binge drinking is, on average, and this is just an average, and there's no way of guessing someone's body. It can change each time you drink, and it could even be one drink that puts you into acute alcohol poisoning. But on average, the recipe is approximately 4 to 5 drinks in less than 2 hours' time. Okay, if you have a 12-ounce, you know, good-sized glass of beer, and you have a 4 to 5-ounce regular size of wine, and you have a little tiny 1-ounce shot, because that is the average size of a shot, of a hard alcohol, all those drinks are all one drink. So you can see how quickly the recipe, if you're shooting shots down one after another, and that is what's happening, you can see how quickly after you get to 4, or with your body 3, or even 1, you can go into acute alcohol poisoning. You can actually put the poison, because alcohol is one of the substances that goes into our bloodstream the quickest, and then to the brain. That's when you initially feel the euphoria. You can put a lethal dose in your body before you ever even feel a euphoria in your brain. And once that happens, if you have acute alcohol poisoning, the only way to save that life, they have to have medical attention that takes the poison out of the body. That's the only way to do it. That's the only way if someone is in trouble with this. And but the good news is, almost 100% of the time, if that person gets medical help, they are saved, brain intact. You can have brain injury, but in most cases, a person just has to get that medical help, and their life is saved. So, you know, a big lesson probably comes out of that, but their life is saved, and that's what the most important thing is. So when I go and present, this is what I teach to the kids, and they get it, and they may not, you know, stop drinking, but they're going to curtail it because they have knowledge now. Or they'll stop. Many have stopped. Many don't even start. I get emails where they were having a party and they decided to have it non-alcoholic. A perfect example of that was in Wyoming, an entire senior class camp out that they decided to have non-alcoholic.
So
in Wyoming. Did I see that because you had forwarded an email to us or something like that?
Probably
something
did.
Like
probably.
This. Well, you know, that's amazing. You know, but I remember back, you know, in my senior year, when we had our graduation party, it was all in one spot.
Right.
Teachers were there, I guess some parents. It was at the YMCA,
okay.
Yakima, Washington. So you had swimming, you had all that.
Yeah.
And they were out in the parking lots making sure nobody was
sure.
drinking or things like that.
And that's responsible.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the official party. The unofficial party afterwards is.
Well, that
is
but see that and that may be just because I was a nerd or something. I wasn't invited to that. But no, and that because that went. See, that went. They kept us there till daylight.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and there's an all nighter.
When you think back on that, we're going to take the phone call in just a second, Jim. So hold on. Again, during our era, it was like beer, and maybe it had a little brandy, you know,
right.
Strawberry brandy or whatever you got, you know. But there wasn't, I don't remember tequila or the fancy vodka.
Right.
The
Jaeger shots.
The Jaeger
shots.
Oh, my. Are you, no.
No.
And that's
no.
become
and
very
that's,
popular.
That's strong on an adult's, you know,
yes.
brain.
Let's go to the phones here. Jim, you're on KCNR.
Hey, I was going to ask this lady. I've missed parts of this interview, but I don't know if she went over some of the aspects of this, because there's people that, you know, like famous people that have died from long-term alcohol abuse. You know, they have future complications from that. And that's one thing that teenagers don't really think about, because they think, well, I'm young, so, you know, that's not going to affect me right now. But some of the other people that have died that are famous, do you ever talk to the kids about that, like direct deaths, like Bon Scott from AC/DC or John Bonham from Led Zeppelin?
You know, I haven't brought up them. Usually I'm with current students their age around our nation and world that die when I bring up an example. But that's a good idea, you
yeah,
know?
Like say Bon Scott, AC/DC, one of the biggest rock bands in the world. I mean, he had it all. He got, you know, inebriated basically and went out to his car and couldn't drive home, so he went to sleep and asphyxiated on, you know, his vomit because he was so drunk. And that's one of the things that can happen during an alcohol binge like this.
That's right. And
then like John Bonham, another one of the world's biggest rock bands, he was the drummer, he died from acute alcohol poisoning because he just drank so much that and this was a big man that was used to this lifestyle too, and he still died.
That's right. You
know?
Are exactly so. Right. I teach them that you know, there's 250, 300 pound guys that can die. You're right. And you know, we develop all the time our presentation, and it's people like you who throw out these ideas that create more things to go into the presentation where the kids will get it. So thank you for that. That this may be a idea that I pick up and I will use with.
Hey, Jim,
so, I mean, there's Bon Scott, John Bonham, and then there was Keith Whitley, another country star that died.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or a country star that died from that.
Hey, Jim, we've got to get back on schedule.
Okay.
We're past the break like 4 minutes.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Hey, thanks for your phone call. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, a home of Free Fire Media.
There has never.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl on the Bot, it's Columbus Day. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Right off Airport Road, Doug Tooley and his guys will give you Dish Satellite, surround sound, theater, home theater. Been in the business 15 years. It's a local guy. It's a local Dish Satellite. So go see Doug, 244-1988.
Shop local, stay local. You know we're all about that. Today. The weather.
Even though others say they are, maybe
we're
going to
be high today of 86. It's going to be breezy today. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, this weekend, Candace Lavolsi will be out there playing the harp this Friday, so you might want to go out and make your reservations. It's going to be phenomenal.
And
hear
one of the finest harpists in the United
world.
States, if not
yes.
the world. That's
yes.
right, if not the world.
Incredible person.
Our guest, Debbie and Steve Allen, and we were talking about the two assembly bills that Debbie and Steve got involved with, 1999, 2486. 2486 would provide the provisions to that anybody that provides booze to a child, can be held liable. And the other one is that if you're under the age of 21, you get limited immunity. And the such is that if you report the fact that you are drunk or somebody else, and you fear for their lives, you're going to get limited immunity for that. In other words, instead of being automatically prosecuted, the chances are you won't, because you're trying to save somebody's life. But that has led us into a completely different area here, and it's about, we're talking about binge drinking and all the effects that has on our children, but flavored.
Right, right.
Flavored drinks.
You had mentioned earlier that, you know, when you first tasted an alcohol, you know, it didn't taste good, right? And a lot of times that right there, when I was a teen, was enough to deter you away from, you know, drinking that drink. Well, now, thank you, alcohol industry, our teens have sweet drinks. So, like, vodka is flavored lemon, cherry, blueberry, you name your flavor, it's probably out there. And so what does that mean? It means, well, when they drink those drinks, it's like drinking Kool-Aid. And we all know that, you know, 12 ounces of a Coca-Cola, we can down that, you know, in less than 20 minutes, right? Well, there you go. That's the amount, way past the amount of the recipe for binge drinking. That's how quickly it happens and how easily. We also talked about the marketing that's going on. I mean, you look now when you go to a store. Steve and I saw a film that enlightened us and showed us that, you know, there is advertisement for alcohol below counters in stores sometimes. Well, why would it be so low? And the idea, the marketing idea, is that the young kids see it, future participants in this. They see it pretty soon. You see it so much. It's just a normal deal. And then when you're at a certain age and you get offered, it's like no big deal, and you participate.
Well, Debbie, it's like when you see a billboard with French fries on it. Mm-hmm. I'm somewhat equating that, you know, just because there's a fast food and everybody does fast food, doesn't mean that you binge. So it's all about the education, and that's really what we're driving home about.
And responsibility.
The education, right. Yeah. Educating your kids, that this is what can happen if you do
right.
This, that do call your neighbor, call us, call, you
right,
know, a responsible
right.
adult. We're here for
you. 911.
Things happen,
yes.
But don't leave it unattended.
And as of right now, and you know, the majority of teens don't realize, and adults don't realize, just a few hours, few swallows of drinking a hard liquor can jeopardize your life. You can lose your life after just a few too many swallows, a few swallows of a hard liquor, which is what's being drunk, and go into alcohol poisoning. And then it's Russian roulette. You know, who's going to save you? Because obviously you're not going to be able to save yourself. So the more education, the more ears that are out there that know this information, you know, the more lives that will be saved. Plus, the easier it is on the kids. It's easier on them because they're not that sore thumb out there saying, this isn't right. Everybody knows what's going on. And so the more that know, the easier it is for a teen to stand up and do the right thing, too, along with all of these. It's like my husband's always said, it's like puzzles. Puzzles that all have to come in to make the strong spots so they can do what's
right.
And
it's not like we're anti-alcohol. I mean, we right. drank wine at a wedding on Saturday. I served beer at a barbecue last night. What we are is, it's not anti-alcohol. It's pro-education.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Being informed consumer, know what you're getting into.
Before we right. get into, go to our break here, so we kind of get back on time, which we have a tough time with. Time is relative. Is teaching your kids to be responsible, teaching your kids to be able to come to you. And, you know, I mean, this is what the message that we're putting out. Is that, you know, things happen.
Right.
But they don't have to end up fatally.
Right.
And knowing that
kids can't drink in moderation. They
right.
can't be taught that. Their brains aren't, you know, working
right.
that way yet.
Okay, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, our favorite place in town to go to for a great cigar. Finest walk-in humidor, but they have Espresso Joe's. they get 40 different types of coffees fixed, I don't know, 50 different ways. If you can't find coffee there, they don't probably make it. Joe and Shelley do a lot to support this community, support the veterans. They are great people. Our guests today are, speaking of great people, Debbie and Steve Allen, who have
Well,
it's true. I mean, you know, you've suffered a terrible tragedy, and you have gone on from there to try and help other parents keep from suffering this tragedy.
Oh,
I mean, we can't avoid that. I mean, the whole thing was brought on by a case of alcohol poisoning in your daughter. Since then, you know, the fight has gone on is to make sure other parents don't have to go through this.
Exactly. So true. I definitely don't want anyone to live life how we live it now. We are living life, though, so that's some good news. But yes, that's why I'm out there, and I'm out there for our kids. So,
And we think sometimes, Debbie, that this is just about, you know, we have just a few minutes left, about how it's parents. This is neighbor. This is grandparents. This is aunts, uncles. This is a fact. This is something that we need to look at, that is a chemical situation that is different than it was 20 years ago when we grew up. Yeah, people, you remember the guys going back to high school, drinking beer to the puke. But did you ever hear about alcohol poisoning? Just for maybe beer was different. Maybe it was just the content.
And did anyone you know died? I know my lifetime, and I had a 10-year span of being single, and you know, the nightclubbing scene out there. And there was not one person in my life that ever died of acute alcohol poisoning. And that's why I knew immediately, because we were very open with our girls, talked about everything and anything. You know, I worked in a state prison, so I knew a lot of what can go on out there and what to warn them about. But I did not know about acute alcohol poisoning, and I knew that, if I don't know this, many more don't. And as I talked to teens and adults, I found out that really the people that know about acute alcohol poisoning very well is our emergency room staff in our hospitals, because unbeknownst to all of us, and in our town, we have cases all the time of our children that go in there and they get their life saved. Typically, you hear about it when it's a sorority or a fraternity on a college campus. But we're losing hundreds in our nation and have for years.
Well, you know, it's funny, but, you know, I guess, you know, when I think back, you hear every so often somebody had their stomach pumped. But you never knew that person. It was just like, oh, yeah, they had their stomach pumped.
And you didn't know what it was, but that's it. That's why it was pumped, because they had acute alcohol poisoning that saved their lives. Okay. You're right. So,
well, Shelby's memory does live on through the good deeds of you working so diligently to bring awareness to all of us on all ages, all creeds, all religions. This can affect anybody, anytime.
Yes. Definitely. And if, you know, in closing, what I would really encourage is please go on the internet and learn everything and anything you can about acute alcohol poisoning. My presenting schedule is happening now. I would love to present more in our area. There's many venues in our area that I've been to, but I would like everyone here, the teens in this area especially, deserve to know, you know, about this to keep their life safe.
And the website to contact you.
Please visit our website, shelbysrulesfoundation.com, and just email me. All my information's there, phone numbers. The email is probably one of the best ways, and I'll get right back to you if you have a venue. I have spoken with as much as 1,200 at a time. I love big assembly-type assemblies because I know the more ears that hear, that's saving more lives, and but as little as, you know, 4, 5, or 6 I go to, too, anytime I've been asked.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Oh, well, you know, you've always got a voice here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We got a wind advisory, 40-mile-per-hour gust.
That's right, on I-5, be careful, and we are in an alert zone as far as fires, because it's hot and it's windy.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, wind advisory, 40 miles per hour gusts that are happening on 5 until 5 p.m.
That's right. Our guest tomorrow will be Rick Bassetti. On Wednesday, Sheriff Tom Basinko. Thursday, we've got a surprise guest host that, she said she'd do it, but I don't know if she remembers. And then, of course, Friday we have Patrick Jones. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta, Redding.